This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Shaning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Tuesday the 23rd of July, and overnight stocks slipped throughout Asia, led by declines in Shanghai and Hong Kong as traders watched escalating tensions there. The Hang Seng was down 1.4%, the Shanghai's composite was down 1.3%, the Nikkei was down marginally, or 0.2%, the SDI fell 0.6%, and at home the FBM KLCI closed down 0.2%.
The US markets rose, and this was led by tech stocks. The S&P 500 closed up about 0.3%. NASDAQ was up 0.7%. The Dow was pretty much flat, and this followed the mixed sessions in Europe and Asia.
Investors have a busy week ahead with a slew of corporate earnings coming out, ranging from tech sectors like Facebook, Amazon and Intel, to consumer stocks like Coca-Cola, Starbucks and Unilever, to even mainstays like Boeing and Caterpillar.
So I'm sure investors will be looking out now for signs of an economic slowdown, as well as whether any indication that the trade war may be affecting a company's bottom lines. So for more on this, we speak with Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, for a look at global markets. Thank you for joining us this morning, Tony. Now, the US second quarter GDP is out on Friday. Are you optimistic about the number despite the ongoing trade war that's been brewing since 2018?
Yeah, you know, if you look at indicators like the Atlanta Fed GDP now, it's tracking at about 1.6%, but it's generally been a little bit below what the end of quarter number was. So, you know, we had Q1 upgraded. We expect to see Q2 between 2 and 3%. I mean, these things, this is a preliminary number, so these things will be adjusted over the next 3 to 6 months anyway.
And a lot of results from U.S. corporations will be out this week as well. What will you be watching out for?
You know, we're really watching out for the expectations. You know, we saw a number of stocks report after the bell today, TD Ameritrade, World Trade, and so on and so forth. And despite better performance than expected, we saw some pullback in some of these stocks. So like Whirlpool, for example, you know, they reported better than was expected. There was a nice push up during the day, but after the bell, they fell more than 1% after they reported. So there's a lot of excitement going into this and a lot of momentum. But then once the numbers come back, there's typically a slight pullback. So, you know, we're really looking at the expectations and where the expectations have been muted. Generally, we've seen companies continue to report better than expected, and those stocks hold up.
And Tony, the biggest technology companies have clearly outperformed the broader market this year, especially the FANGs, including Microsoft, on the back of offering better visibility. Now, is it time to take some money off the table for these names?
You know, it could be. That really depends on, you know, overall portfolio, you know, strategies, that sort of thing. But, you know, tech companies really have, you know, the U.S. corporations and corporations generally can be much more efficient and run in a much more productive way. So there is room to run, we believe, within the tech sector. It really all depends on the decisions that corporate leadership, not within the tech companies, but within the client companies, how much those corporate leaders are willing to do in terms of automation and productivity. So if corporate leaders are willing to make tough decisions to push for automation, then we think there's a long way to run in the tech sector. If corporate leaders aren't willing to make those productivity-linked decisions and automate, then we think it's caps.
And Tony, last week, Boeing said it plans to record a $4.9 billion accounting charge related to its 737 MAX jetliner when the company reports earnings tomorrow. Excuse me. So, and now Fitch also says that Boeing is at risk of being downgraded, considering especially that the cost is going to clip $5.6 billion from its revenue and pre-tax earnings in the quarter. So, Tony, what is your outlook on Boeing and what do you expect to see tomorrow?
I think you've really got to be careful with these things. You have to wonder how much of the iceberg is above the water, right? And so with both Fitch and Moody's downgrading, one has to assume there's something more there. There may be more cancellations. There may be more issues. So it's time to take care, to be cautious, and to see what more is revealed in the coming months.
Thank you very much, Tony. And that was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, advising caution on Boeing because, as he says, you don't know how much of the iceberg is above water. And as we just mentioned, Boeing's credit rating is at risk as the company's grounding of the 737 MAX jetliner drags into a fifth month. And Moody's Investors Service has joined Fitch Ratings in sounding a warning. So I guess now the question is, how concerned should we be about Boeing?
Yeah, I think that Moody's stated in a statement that there will be a $5 billion cash outflow, and this will continue until regulators find a way to clear Boeing of the MAX controversy.
Yeah, like Fitch, Moody affirmed Boeing's rating at the sixth highest level of investment quality while cutting the outlook to negative. It said financial risk relative to the company's pre-grounding profile has meaningfully increased, and the resolution and ultimate impact for Boeing, both financial and reputationally, remains unknown. Fitch also chimed in. They said the grounding of Boeing's best-selling jet will clip operating margins for years to come, while posing a significant public relations challenge that will linger into the next year and beyond. And if we actually look at Boeing's performance, one key indicator has been the number of planes they sold at the last Paris Air Show, which is the most important air show for commercial companies like them. And Airbus sold double that of Boeing. 500 over planes for Airbus versus Boeing 200 over planes, which is actually a surprise, and that came from just mainly one client. So if things are, if that is an indicator of things to come, yes, I think Boeing will have tough times ahead. We also see in the aviation industry some of the Middle Eastern airlines actually delaying their planes. They booked it, but now they say, can we get delivery a bit later? I think that's also a sign of the global slowdown.
Mm. And we're also not forgetting the fact that we're also seeing a brewing fight between the US and the EU over Airbus and Boeing and protectionist policies. So you wonder how Boeing's performance now is going to affect that dispute, because it's going to the WTO now as well.
Yes, and I mean, these trade war tensions just go on and on. But aside from Boeing,
it's happening in the tech sector as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Amazon with their, well, actually it's over the French digital tax, right? That's the latest fight between America and the rest of the world, actually.
I mean, the Americans themselves are giving extra scrutiny to their own tech companies as well. There is this, I think, fine on Facebook of $5 billion by the FTC. This is the highest of any fines that we've seen so far. So I think running ahead to the presidential elections next year, you might see a lot of all this noise coming out as to how you're going to break up big tech. And I think that's going to be
being put forward by Elizabeth Warren, particularly.
Correct.
As well.
And that's going to be one of the things that might dampen the market going forward, because a lot of the gains that we see in the market today are very much contributed by the tech stocks.
Now, speaking of Facebook, they're one of the companies that we're set to see earnings from this week, along with Amazon, Alphabet, Twitter, Coca-Cola, Intel. So lots of news to digest from big tech, big food, as well as transport, because Tesla's also set to report their earnings. And these players are all big MNCs and tech firms and should give us an indication as well of the effects of the trade war. But also taking a look at the US's partner in the trade war, yesterday China has launched its new NASDAQ style tech board, the Science and Technology Innovation Board, or the STAR Market. And the STAR Market is China's attempt to address investor concerns like market volatility and lack of governance. And 25 companies were listed yesterday. All 25 of them finished the first day's trading with gains of at least 84%.
Now, yeah. What's interesting about this STAR board, this STAR Market, right, was that it was ordered into existence, literally ordered into existence by China's President Xi Jinping in November last year. I think when trade war tensions really started brewing, right? And its purpose is aimed at helping Beijing sustain economic growth by funding technological innovation. If you ask me, it's an alternative to some of these Chinese companies who previously used to list in US, in jurisdictions like America, because they wanted better visibility and they wanted to raise capital and raise money from the capital markets, right? But now China's saying, look, we have a homegrown alternative. So come back and list. I don't know, it's a sign of the ongoing not so warm relationship between the two countries, clearly.
Yeah, I also get the feeling that some of these companies that are listed here are not as big as some of the giant tech companies that we see coming out of China. Because this new exchange has got laxer rules on listing, you don't have to have profitability, and you know, as an investor, you need about 500,000 yuan to invest in this company. That's equivalent to about $73,000. And that would mean that these are much riskier companies that haven't achieved a level of confidence among the normal investors. You know, like you and me, the exchanges and the regulators usually want to protect us, right? We need a lot of protection in that. But as an investor with accredited with 50,000, half a million yuan, you can go ahead and invest in these highly risky companies.
Yeah, but some of the names did really, really well on the first day. I mean, they all got off to a good start. In fact, one of them, Angie, got off to a momentous start. It opened 287% higher than the IPO price.
Yeah, and that's Angie Microelectronics. So that is a semiconductor maker. And in total, their share price rose fivefold on the first day of trading. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.